When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I am your host, Simon Brooks, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world, and it will take you to long ago and far away, and bring you back safely. The theme, the stories in this episode are tales related to luck versus wisdom. Personally, I believe in a bit of both. And we have some very delicious storytellers that I am thrilled to welcome you to this week. Both of them are way smarter than this old bear, but more on that later. This happened a long time ago, probably before some of you were born, if you are under 20 years of age. But that's how long ago this happened. I might have mentioned before that for a short while, 5 years, I lived in Portland, Oregon. A busy place full of stuff to do, life, bustle, noise, but also the wilderness is not too far away. I would go camping on state land, which you could do, and I think you still can in those days. Drive down a road in the middle of nowhere, park the car, hike a ways, make camp. I had a 3-person tent, which was luxurious on my own and still roomy enough with a second person. The 3rd person spot would be for gear, backpacks and the like, so you wouldn't have to leave it outside in the rain. It rains a lot in Oregon and Washington states, even in the summer. It was the last year that I was living in Portland, although I didn't know that then. It was mid-July, a Friday afternoon, beautiful weather, and the tent was pitched. I was with my good old friend Rick. Rick was from Pensacola, Florida, which I always called Pepsi-Cola. Rick and I both had very silly senses of humour, and we got on well, important if you're camping. We were really out in the boondocks. We had a great detailed map and had hiked in about 5 miles before we pitched the tent. It was about 4 o'clock. I had a really old Olympus Trip camera, film camera. Digital was still too new for me then to buy a good one, and I love film anyways. And I was taking all sorts of photographs of trees, rocks, streams, and insects and birds when they stayed close enough and still enough for long enough. It was a lot of fun. That night, there were no issues at all. We hung the food high up off the ground from a tree limb and cooked vegetarian food so wild animals weren't attracted to the smell of cooked meat. You don't want to go to bed in the wild smelling like a burger and then have a bear come and visit at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking you are a burger and try to eat you. The next morning, we were going to head to this tiny little lake. It appeared to have a good number of streams going in and out, possibly a nice set of falls, and didn't look too wooded, so it would be a nice sunny spot to visit the next day. We packed up in the morning, made sure the fire was out and covered with dirt, and headed out. We were using map and compass, as the trail was not a good one. You could barely find it at times, but isn't that what adventure is all about? We had not been walking for long, maybe a couple of hours, when we came upon a cabin in the woods. It was right off the path. There were old tractors and pumps lying around, rusted up long ago, half buried in grass, and a tree growing out of one of the old vehicles. The cabin roof was sagging, and an upstairs window was broken. It was clear no one lived here. The path was overgrown, like I said, hard to find at times. Now, the hiking had been uphill, and alternated with boulder fields and dense forest, and we sat on the porch to take a drink of water from our flasks and cool down. That's when we heard 3 voices. The first teller today is Joel Ben Izzy. He's from out west, but travels everywhere, sharing stories and conducting workshops and writing books. I love Joel's style, and I hope you do too, as he tells the story, Luck versus Wisdom.
I'll tell you a story, the story of luck versus wisdom, and afterwards, you decide. But first, I'm going to ask the Kings of Klezmer to play a little tune to set the mood for it. Play that one you play called The Dance of the Drunken Dreidel. It's an age-old question, luck versus wisdom, and it goes back long ago to when luck and wisdom stood on a mountainside arguing, and luck said, "You want to get somewhere in life? You want to go somewhere? You want things to work for you? You have got to be lucky, lucky, lucky." And wisdom said, "No, I don't think so. Luck comes and luck goes. Wisdom is the stuff you need." "You can say that because you're wise. Me, I am lucky, lucky, lucky." "No, it is wisdom, that's the thing." They'd been having the argument for years, until one day they decided to have a contest. They looked down below them, and there was a valley, and in that valley was a miserable little hut. And at that moment, in that hut, a baby was being born, a little baby boy. And Luck turned to Wisdom and said, "Let's have a contest. One of us will enter in the baby. We'll see how it does."
"Sounds good. But which one?"
"Let's flip a coin. Who won the coin toss?" "Luck." But that meant Luck got to decide who goes first. So Luck said, "You go first. I'll wait my turn."
"Very well," said Wisdom.
This baby was born with eyes wide open. He looked at the world in wonder, taking in everything he saw. When he was just a young child, he saw his father carving a piece of wood. He watched so carefully that he himself picked up a knife and a piece of wood, and he began to carve it. He studied with the woodcarver in town, and within a few months, he himself was a skilled woodcarver, though he was just a child, and he was able to do this because he was
wise.
What's more, one day he saw his mother sewing, and he watched her carefully, and then he himself picked up a needle and thread, and he began to sew. He went and studied with a tailor in town, and soon he was a skilled tailor, so that now, even though he was still a very young child, he was a woodcarver and a tailor, because he was
wise.
What's more, he went to school, and he saw his teachers teach. He learned from them, and he soon became a skilled teacher. By the time this child was a young man, he was a woodcarver, a tailor, and a teacher. He was able to do all this because he was
wise.
For what is wisdom except the ability to learn from everyone you meet? And that is just what he did. Now, word of this young man got around the kingdom until the king heard of it and said, "What? There is a young man in my kingdom who is a woodcarver, a tailor, and a teacher? I need all three. I'll hire him in the palace." The king said, "Young man, if indeed you are a woodcarver, tailor, and teacher, I would like you to carve me a wooden throne. I would like you to sew me a new gown. And I would like you to teach me all sorts of things." And all this because he was
wise.
Now the king had a daughter, the princess, and she was
beautiful.
Yes, she was beautiful, but a beautiful princess is nothing unusual. She was also very smart. And this was a problem, because the king didn't know what to do with a smart princess. So he decided to marry her off. He called her in one day and said, "Daughter, I have decided you should get married." "You've decided I should get married? Did you decide who I should marry?" "Yes, I've decided you should marry the prince in the next kingdom over, Prince Blah Blah." "Prince Blah Blah? Are you serious?" "Yes, he's very handsome and very rich. But he has the personality of sawdust." "No, I'm sure you'll like him. He's coming over for dinner tonight." "And who came over that night?" "Prince
Blah."
"Who said blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah." He talked about the one thing he knew and cared about, which was Prince Blah Blah. The evening dragged on painfully. Finally, the princess said, "You can go now." She sent him off. The king said, "So you didn't like Prince Blah Blah? Don't worry, I have a prince from the next kingdom over, Prince Duh."
"Prince Duh? Are you serious?"
"Yes, he's even better than Prince Blah Blah. Who came over that night?" "Prince
Duh."
da, 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 da. It was horrible. She couldn't think of marrying Prince Da. Never mind. Got another prince from another kingdom? Prince Nurkaner. Not Prince Nurkaner. Who came over that night? Prince
Nurkaner.
Nurkaner. Nurkaner. Nurkaner. Nurkaner. Nurkaner. She couldn't stand him either. She didn't like blah, blah, duh, Nurkaner, Prince Finger up the nose. She didn't like any of the princes. And finally, the king got furious. He said, I have introduced you to all the richest, most handsome princes around, and you don't like them. What's your problem? Father, these princes are terribly boring. I can't talk to them. What, you want to be able to talk? Yes. Well, I insist, said the king. I insist that you marry one of the princes you've met so far. Well, that was a mistake on his part. For she said, you insist? Well, I refuse. And what's more, I will not marry anyone until I find someone that I can talk to. And until that time, I will not say another word. What do you mean? Do you want to talk about this? Obviously, her smarts were not from his side of the family. Let me get this straight, princess. You are not going to talk to anyone until you find the one you want to marry. Is that right? So all we need is someone who can make you talk, and you'll marry them, right? Very well. Bring back the princes. And so they set it up as a contest. He would bring back the princes. If one of them could make her talk, it could marry her. Well, back came Prince Blah, 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 Prince Duh, Prince Nurkaner, Prince Finger Up the Nose. She didn't like any of the princes, sent them all off. The king said, all right, we'll open it up to the whole kingdom. Anyone can come and try to make you talk. If they can make you talk, you have to marry them. So people lined up in front of the palace, one after another, to make her talk. Each time, she refused. People tried again and again, and the king said, I'm tired of people trying again and again. You get one try. If you can make her talk, you marry her. If not, we chop off your head. There were a lot of people walking around the kingdom with their heads chopped off. Finally, the line grew shorter and shorter. The people grew shorter and shorter as the heads got chopped off. Then there was nobody there waiting to make her talk. Now let's come back to our young man who was...
Why?
He went to the king and said, Your Highness, I would like to make your daughter talk. Oh, please, please don't do that. Why not? Because if you fail, I have to chop off your head. Then I have to hire 3 people to replace you, a new woodcarver, a new tailor, and a new teacher. But I'm not going to fail, said the young man. And you know what? He had a plan because he was
wise.
So he went to the bedroom of the princess, and there outside the door stood the guard who said, Young man, I don't suggest you try. She's very stubborn. It's my job to listen to them talk, and to chop off their heads when they fail. I've seen them come, one after another. And you know, she's just stubborn. You'll never be able to do it. The young man said, You just listen. All right, said the guard, your choice. Good luck. The young man went into the room. He walked right past the princess, who was seated on her bed. He walked to the far end of the room, where there was a pair of candlesticks, and said, Hello, candlesticks, how are you? The candlesticks said nothing because they were... But the princess was listening. Candlesticks, I want to ask you a question, a very important question. Listen carefully. 3 friends went camping. One was a woodcarver, one was a tailor, and one was a teacher. You listening, candlesticks? Candlesticks said nothing because they were... But the princess was listening. Now, candlesticks, here's what happened. They took turns watching the fire. Throughout the night, the first to watch the fire was the woodcarver. And as he looked, he saw that he was seated next to a large log. He said, Well, there's a log. I'm a woodcarver. I'll start to carve something. He began to carve, and as he carved at that log, it took the shape of a beautiful woman. Finally, by the time his watch was up, he went to wake up the tailor, and the tailor came and saw that beautiful woman. He said, Look at this. The woodcarver has carved her out of wood. I'm a tailor, so I will make her some clothes. And he began to sew a beautiful gown for her. Well, when his turn was up, he went to wake up the teacher. And the teacher sat by the fire and now saw a woman carved out of wood, wearing a beautiful gown. But listen carefully, Candlesticks, for you see, the teacher said to himself, "Ah, the woodcarver has carved her. The tailor has made her these fine clothes. I am a teacher, so I will teach her." And he began to teach her, and such a skilled teacher was he, that soon this woman, made of wood, actually came to life. And when the sun rose, the woodcarver and the tailor were astounded to see that young man speaking to a real live woman, who was in fact talking with him. Now, Candlesticks, comes the question. For you see, all three men were very excited. Each one wanted to marry her, but only one could. And so they argued which one it should be. Should it be the woodcarver, who'd carved her out of wood, the tailor, who had made her clothes, or the teacher, who had taught her to speak? Which one? The Candlesticks said nothing, because of course they were
Candlesticks.
But the princess said, "Well, I think it's obvious. The one that made her talk should marry her, if she wants to marry him." "That's what I think," said the prince. "The one that makes her talk should marry her. That's me, that's you. See you at the wedding." As he danced out of the room, happy as could be, the guard grabbed him by the neck and said, "Nice try, kid." He dragged him out to the chopping block in the center of the palace. He lifted his axe high above his head. See, you don't understand. This was a young man with wisdom, but no luck. As it was, the guard had been out late the night before at a party and had fallen asleep during the story. Remember, he had wisdom, not luck. And as the axe went rushing down through the air towards his neck, high up on a hillside, Luck turned to Wisdom, said, "Told you."
"Well, I can see your point."
"You don't have to see my point. Just look at the point of the axe about to chop off that young man's head."
"Well, I can see that point too, but what can you do, Luck?"
Luck said, "Ah, never underestimate the power of luck." With a wave of his hand, a beautiful purple bird flew past the window of the palace. And as the princess saw it, she looked past it and saw the man with his head about to be chopped off, and she said, "Stop! I'll marry him." And the blade stopped a quarter inch from his neck. And the two were married. And that's how it is with luck and wisdom. The two are married. You can't separate one from the other. That is why when we have a celebration of any sort, we have a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, or a wedding, or even something little and simple to celebrate, like when we spin our dreidel and it lands on Gimel, we remind ourselves of the importance of luck, and we say, "Mazel tov."
During this time of COVID-19, being locked away at home, Goldilocks and Company have a solution for you. You can't go out but want to eat out. Nothing fancy, but something different. Well, Goldilocks and Company have a menu with more than the bare necessities. From porridge to kedgeree, mac and cheese to grilled brie with blackberry, basil and garlic salsa. From cold starters like Mama Bear salad to Baby Bear's favourite dessert, blueberry crumble, they will have something that you want. Prices designed for most budgets, these healthy meals mean that you can order as much as you want and not have to worry about breaking your chair. Order online at www.goldilocksandco.ft. Curbside or delivery, out of kingdom rates may apply. This episode is also brought to you by the new patron Golden Apple supporter, Sabrina Ziba. The crowd goes wild.
Being a supporter, Sabrina has the magical ability to see what naughty children are up to within a 10-yard radius, even through walls. They also have the ability to easily explain what a radius is to a small child. They are also a generous supporter of storytelling and the arts, which is pretty cool. A big thank you to them and all the other patrons of the podcast. Become a patron for as little as $4 a month while getting some sweet perks and rewards, and see if you can hear through walls and explain a radius to a small child. Or maybe your unique fairy tale talent is something completely different. It would be pretty cool. Patrons receive an extra story each week, get to peek behind the scenes, postcards from the podcast throughout the year, and chances to chat with Rachel Ann Harding. No way! Yes way! No way! Yes way! New rewards to be added in the future. Your generous support allows this podcast to reach bigger audiences and grow. A big thank you to all the patrons who make this podcast possible. To join the Story supporters, go to storystorypodcast.com for more information. And if you want to hear us make up fairy tale facts about you and thank you for an episode, then become a supporter now. Be like Sabina and become a patron for as little as $4 a month and discover your unique fairy tale talents. The three voices were muffled at first, but then Rick and I could discern a female voice, a male voice, and a child's voice. We stood up off the deck. The place didn't look lived in, but maybe it was, after all. Around the corner lumbered three bears on all fours, talking. We all froze. I'm not sure who was more surprised, us or the bears. I looked at them, and then looked up at the broken window. I pointed to it. Goldilocks? Mama Bear looked up at it and then back at me. She turned her head towards Papa Bear, who kind of shrugged. No, that was years ago. Papa Bear and Baby Bear were playing with a ball in the house, and well, surprise, surprise, it ended up breaking a window. Papa Bear lowered his head and grunted. Baby Bear's got a strong and fast arm. I wasn't ready. I'm sorry, I said. Didn't mean to startle you being here. I hope you don't mind. This is my friend Rick. I looked at my buddy for the first time since the bears came round the corner to see his mouth wide open and eyes wide. I punched him gently on the arm. Rick, I whispered, close your mouth. Hi, my name's Rick. This is my good buddy Simon. We were just walking along this trail heading up to the lake. Is it far from here? I'm sorry, we were just resting. Is this your place? What's it like living in the woods? I thumped Rick again on the arm. Baby Bear chuckled.
He's funny.
You have no idea, I said. He juggles too. It looked like Rick was coming back to himself as he stuttered. Yeah, I do. He reached into his pack and pulled out three hacky sack balls and began juggling. Well, we never made it to the lake. We spent the rest of the day there with the three bears. They even made room for us in their little home and we spent the night there. Rick's a bit of a handyman, so the two of us helped shore up the foundations and found a beam to use to help support the roof, in thanks for the hospitality they gave us. Mama Bear and Papa Bear were both super strong, but Rick and I had opposable thumbs. We got back to the car late Sunday evening, just as the sun was setting, having had the best weekend ever. We talked about visiting the bears again and make it up to the lake this time. We never did. I got a job offer out here on the East Coast and I took it. If Rick ever went back there, he's never told me. Oh, and when I went to take a photograph of all of us with the bears, I found the film had run out. I thought I had a 36 exposure roll in the camera, but it was only 24. Our second teller is all the way from Underdown, the amazing Jenny Cargill-Strong. Woohoo! I like the way Jenny tells a story too, and the stories she tells. Today, she's going to tell you the story, Reaching for the Moon. Sit back, close your eyes, and fall into the story with Jenny.
Reaching for the Moon. In a kingdom far away,
Not in your time, or my time, but in somebody's time, there lived a king who always wanted something. And every time he came up with a new something he wanted, he would demand that one of his servants should get it or make it for him. If that servant could not give the king what he demanded, no matter how impossible it was, the king would order his guards to throw him or her into his dreary, dank dungeon for the rest of their days. The king's dungeon was quite full. One night, the king climbed to the topmost turret of his castle to gaze up at the moon. "Ah," he sighed, "the moon is so beautiful. If only I could touch it." The king had been wondering how to reach the moon for many years, but he'd never been able to figure it out. Then he remembered. "I am the king. I should be able to have whatever I like. Servants, summon my royal carpenter." When the royal carpenter was brought before him, the king said, "Carpenter, build me a tower so that I may reach the moon. I wish to touch it." With his knees trembling, the carpenter stammered, "Sire, you are the most powerful king. You have the largest kingdom, and you are surely the wisest of kings. Yet even you cannot touch the moon. It just cannot be done, sire."
"Cannot be done, you say? Guards, put this man in chains and take him to the dungeon. Then send me a carpenter with more imagination who can give me what I want."
The royal carpenter, who had faithfully served the king all his life, held up his hands pleadingly. "Perhaps I was too hasty, sire. Please, give me a little more time to think."
"That's more like it, carpenter. Never let it be said that I am an unreasonable king. You shall have all day tomorrow to think up your plan. Come back tomorrow night, after I have my dinner. You may explain your plan just before the royal minstrel plays me lullabies."
The carpenter went home to his family. He was a widower with 10 children. All night long, he tossed and turned, dreaming of the moon and the king's dungeons. The next morning, he explained to his children what the king had said. The older children helped him come up with many ideas, but not one idea seemed workable. Then, just as night began to fall, and it was time for the carpenter to set off for the king's castle, a firefly flew into the house. The youngest child climbed excitedly up onto the family chest to try to reach up to that pretty flying light. As the little girl teetered on the wooden chest, waving her small hands towards the firefly, the eldest child had an idea.
"I know, Father. You could build a tower of chests."
Back in the olden days, people didn't have cupboards or drawers to put their things in. Instead, they kept them all in a wooden box with a lid called a chest. The carpenter explained his plan to the king.
"Sire, I have a plan that will work. We will get all the strong wooden chests in the kingdom brought to one place. I will pile them one on top of each other until we have a strong tower for you to stand on to reach the moon."
"Splendid," said the king. "Let it be done."
A royal decree was sent throughout the land that everyone must empty all their chests and bring them to the royal carpenter. When this was done, the carpenter arranged the chests into a tall tower. The king was called. Up, up, up he climbed until he reached the top. Then he reached up towards the moon, but he couldn't touch it.
"Carpenter, I can't reach the moon. Get me more wooden chests."
"But, sire, We have no more chests.
Then build me new ones. My kingdom for a man with initiative.
So the royal carpenter hired an army of carpenters. They worked day and night until they had used every bit of cut wood there was in the kingdom. All the new chests were added to the tower, and the king was called. Up, up, up he climbed until he reached the top. The king reached up towards the moon, but still he couldn't touch it.
Carpenter, I can't reach the moon. Get me more wooden chests.
But, sire, we have no more chests and we have no more cut wood. There is no wood left even to make houses, furniture or bridges.
Piffle puffle. Cut down the trees then. Quick sticks, I want my tower.
So the royal carpenter ordered the timber getters to cut down every last tree in the king's vast kingdom. All through the land, the hills rang with the sound of axes chopping, trees falling, saws soaring, and hammers hammering. At last, all the new chests were ready. The carpenter piled the new chests on top of the tower. The king was called. Up, up, up he climbed until he reached the very top. Then the king reached up towards the moon, but still he couldn't touch it.
Carpenter, I still can't reach the moon. Get me more wooden chests.
Sire, there are no more chests. There is no more cut wood. There are no more trees to cut down.
Bah! But I must reach the moon. I know. Take a wooden chest from the bottom and pass it up to me here.
Sire, it can't be done.
Can't? Can't. All you say is can't. Guards, put that man in chains. Send him to the dungeon.
All right, sire. I'll do it. The royal carpenter grabbed a wooden chest from the bottom of the tower. He heaved and heaved. The other carpenters pulled with him. Finally, it came out. The carpenters all ran for their lives as all of the chests came tumbling, tumbling down. And with them came that foolish king. And that was the end of that king, though I can't say that made many people sad. The people decided that life was quite nice without a king, so they elected the royal carpenter as their prime minister. He ruled wisely and kindly, with the help of his 10 children. They let all the innocent people out of the dungeons, replanted the entire kingdom with trees, and they all lived happily ever after.
Thanks for listening to Story Story Podcast. Show the love and find Joel and Jenny on the internet and tell them that you heard them on the podcast and now you want to hear them tell more stories. You can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast, or me, Simon Brooks, on Instagram at Simon M. Brooks, and on my Facebook page and my website, Simon Brooks Storyteller. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was me. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was me. You can find the visual candy from the fairy tale sponsor ads on the Story Story Podcast Instagram and Facebook page. While you're there, let us know a favourite story that you have heard, all the favourite stories of your childhood. Who knows, maybe you will hear them here soon. The podcast is made possible by patrons like you and Sabina. Consider becoming a patron or join the mailing list to get podcast goodies, or you could write a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Will you hear more stories next week? Yes, you will. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea. fly and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal